Hello again and welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast, the official podcast of Oakley Cricket Club. My name is Miles Fabris and I'm back to host once again. Today I'm joined again by Club Vice President and the Chairman of Selectors, Trent Shields. Welcome back.
Thank you, Milosh. Always a pleasure to be here and looking forward to a bumper episode.
Absolutely. We have a lot of stuff to get through today. We're going to be talking the Twilight 2020 comp, first through the fifth 11, a little bit about the Craig Shield, how they went. And of course, Trent's top five is making a return. An exciting one today. A tasty one, dare I say.
Let's hope. And as always, I'm wearing a different Oakley cap.
Yes, today. Tell me about the hat.
So this is my playing cap, the baggy blue. I wore only two of those in my 25-year career. So it's
That's a good effort.
So it's got a little bit of the Steve Waugh's falling apart here at the side as well.
Have you worn yours to the Australian Open? Or
I have not worn mine to the Australian Open, nor Wimbledon. However, I do have a couple of very quick facts about the Oakley cap.
Oh, please.
So this one here is a navy blue cap. Originally, the Oakley Cricket Club only wore white. Our colour was just white all through our inception up until the mid-70s.
Just white.
Yep. About that time, we started wearing a navy cap, similar to this one. In 1983, under the direction of club captain coach Peter O'Brien, we adopted the purple and gold of the Oakley Football Club, who play at the same ground here.
Oh, so that's where it came from.
And we've been purple and gold ever since. Another little fun fact just about our logo as well. You probably can't see it zoomed in, but we might show you on
the... It'll be on the bottom left
we'll
of your
show
screen.
You here. There's a little acorn on there, which was an addition in the early 2000s to represent our junior club, which we didn't have before that.
And that's about when I joined as well in the early 2000s. As an under 11?
It might represent you.
Huh. I'm a little acorn, all grown up. All right, before we get stuck into the games of this episode, I'd like to thank once again Ray White, the official podcast partner of the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thank you to Ray White and Ray White Oakley, and we'll hear from them again a little bit later in the show. But let's dive straight in. We are going to start tonight by talking about the 2020 matches. The VSDCA run a separate competition, a 2020 competition, on Tuesday nights, usually run in January. The way the format's working at the moment is each club plays two group games, and if you do well enough in those two games to progress in your group, it then becomes knockout finals from then on.
Funnily enough, it's actually the semi-final night tonight, and a quick update for you, live update.
Oh, here we go.
Spotswood and Ivanhoe have won their respective semi-finals against Mount Waverley and Brunswick to play off in the grand final next week. Neither of those teams have won a title yet, so good for them.
We'll have a brand new winner. And I guess a little bit of spoiler from that the Oaks did not progress to the semi-final. But let's talk about the two games they did play. So the first game, which was actually technically round two after a washout, but game one was against Brighton.
Yes.
At Brighton.
Yes.
Oakley batted first. After a bit of a wobbly start, recovered well to post 7 for 129.
Yep, Jack Clark made 39 off 45. Also had some really nice cameos from Jim Benn and Jim Francis helping him out there.
Yeah, just pushed us up late in the innings to get to 129, which at Brighton's probably not enough, and that proved to be the case. Brighton chasing us down 7 down after losing some late wickets. But they did the damage early and they were about none for 60 off 6, I think.
Yes. Look, it got tight towards the end there too. And Big Benny Salmon took a couple of wickets, including Jack Rutter, which was a big thrill for him. And Pierso took a couple. What's the opposite of a happy hunting ground?
Sad something
gathering ground. Gathering hole? That's what Brighton Beach Oval is for the Oakley Cricket Club at the moment.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, I don't like playing there.
Let's see if we can change that this weekend.
We are playing
there on the Sunday
this weekend, so we'll hopefully get a win.
Game two, we hosted Caulfield here on a perfect night for cricket.
Beautiful summer's night.
We actually had the Frog Box up and running with full commentary, so you can still check that out on our YouTube channel.
Absolutely,
was a really good thrill to be able to do that. Caulfield batted first, posted 3 for 125. We thought that was probably unders as well, even though the wicket was playing a little bit more difficult than we thought originally.
Hmm.
Fateh Singh in his first game for the Oaks in the ones took a wicket, which was a great one. He took their star player and captain Rimmel. And then in reply, it was a very subdued chase by the Oaks.
Yeah, it was a sort of calm when it maybe needed to be a bit less calm, wasn't it?
One thing I certainly noticed, and I don't know whether it was the pitch or just sort of the pressure put on by the bowlers, no one's bat sounded good. It was like everyone was playing with a broken bat from both teams.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you can go and listen to those sounds on the YouTube telecast, as you mentioned,
you can.
Where we did the commentary.
You can. Probably worthwhile calling out to Skipper Pearce, who made 41 off 37, mm-hmm. and Brendan Grace, who was our guest player from Fitzroy Doncaster, brother of the club coach Matt, made 30 off 34 in a second impressive showing for the Oaks.
Yeah, those two were looking good. We were in a good position. We just sort of fell over in the last five or so overs. We should mention as well, in that 2020 competition, each club is required to play three players under 21. So we had guys like Ben Salmon, Fateh Singh,
Jimmy Francis,
Rahul Surendran, Raza, a couple of guys play games and all performed really well. As you mentioned, Fateh took his first wicket. Ben Salmon was probably the pick of the bowlers in the Brighton game, but unfortunately lost both games and so didn't progress, which is unlike the Oaks. How many 2020 comps have we won here at Oakley?
There's five out of 14 years.
It's a pretty good record.
Incredible record.
So we'll be back at it next year. And well done to the T20 team. Bad luck, and we'll see you next season when it resumes.
Terrific. We'll move on to now the fifth 11. We're going reverse order here.
Yes.
Now, the fifth 11 play on Sundays in the Mercantile Cricket Association, and they play one-day games every week, 45 overs. So we've got four games to go through here.
Lots of games.
Unfortunately, and a spoiler alert again, we lost all four of those. First game, round 13 versus Powerhouse, 2. Powerhouse posted 7 for 161 with 2 wickets apiece to Craig Johnson, skipper of the fours, and the People's Champion, Vijay Gadda. In response, the Oaks were all out for 128, with Rayan making a cool 37. Vijay and Sanjay actually put on a very long 10th wicket partnership to keep the game alive and certainly upset the opposition a little bit. The opposition were so upset that they subsequently complained about our players wearing our yellow training shirts in games. And
really?
Since then, we haven't been allowed to.
Really? They play with a yellow ball?
No, they play with a pink ball. Oh. So you can see why there was an issue.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yep.
I think that day as well, did we have the third 11 or the fourth 11 also playing on that Sunday? So we're missing a few players, I think,
yes.
Out of the fifths.
Yeah, the threes were playing at Mount. Round 14, we travelled out to Ashwood. We batted first and sadly we're all out for 90, which was really disappointing. It's sort of the fifths is a development 11. We like to win, but ultimately, we just want to get some of the younger guys and some of the less experienced guys a good hit out against adults in good conditions. All out for 90. Very talented youngster, Andrew Thakur, who played really well for Essendon Dowling in the recent carnival, made 39, and that was the only score of note. Mm-hmm. Ashwood, in reply, passed us 7 wickets down. We really gave it a ride, and we're in it right to the end. 2 wickets each to Matty Tyson, Ant Howes, and Harry Cashman.
And well done to those boys. So we move on to round 15, which was against Malvern.
Second time we'd played Malvern after a pretty disappointing performance against them earlier in the season, which is a shame against one of our very close sub-district rivals as well too. So would have been nice to put in a better performance. We were all out for 114 in 28 overs, which meant that we left about 17 overs out there. Ant made 51, which was the only meaningful contribution. I think Carlos was the only one in double figures apart from that who made about 13. Malvern passed us pretty easily, 4 for 116 in just over 25 overs, and the teams decided to call it quits. So that was a disappointing thing, that there were still 50 overs left, more so than the losing of the game.
Shorter game that day.
Yep.
So that was a loss as well. And finally, round 16, where we played Powerhouse 2 again, and that was just this past Sunday on a very hot 38 degree day.
Very hot day. There was a lot of conversation around whether the game could start at 10 a.m. to avoid the heat.
That would have been good.
Or whether we could start the game later and then play reduced overs.
That would have been good too.
At the end of the day, we ended up starting at 12:30, slightly later, to give our juniors a chance to get to the ground, and we played the full 45 overs because the opposition enforced that. Perhaps smelling a kill in the air based on our performance against them last time.
But we gave them a real shake, didn't we?
A real run for their money. They batted first and made 205, which was a solid score. You'd certainly take that.
Yeah.
Batting first and out at Faulkner Park.
Definitely.
Ant was the pick of the bowlers there with 4 for 30 off 8.2 overs. Noah O'Neill in his first game took a wicket, and Sam Duckett also took a wicket there amongst it too, which was great. In reply, we were absolutely flying at 1 for 120 or so.
Fantastic start.
With Carter Bilborough 69 and Rayan Kosha 47, but fell in a bit of a hole there and ended up falling short 9 for 197, so losing by 8 runs. But a vastly improved performance and exactly what we wanted to see out of the young kids there, really getting an opportunity and facing up to a pressure situation against one of the top teams in that comp.
And it was getting exciting towards the end there. We had the live scores going and we needed about a runner ball. And very good effort, almost chasing 205, ending 197. So well done to those guys that made runs and bowled well. That's the end of the fifth 11 wrap. Overall, that puts them 4 wins, 7 losses and 4 draws. So we'll hope for some more scores, some more development out of the young players down the fifth 11. And well done to those guys. All right, let's go on to the fourth 11.
Start with a round 10 versus Mount Waverley.
One day game,
which was a really good win against Mount Waverley, who are currently on top of the ladder, as I can see over here on the board.
Yeah, dominant win.
Oakley batted first and made 7 for 165 with Josh Gunawardner, 37 tops, not top scoring, but he made 37, and Raf Parton made 39 not. Terrific performance there. Josh actually, even though he is still a junior, he played Woolworths Blast Milo Cricket at Oakley and juniors before trying his luck elsewhere, but then coming back to the home of cricket. So welcomed back with open arms and performing very well.
Well done, Josh. And in response to Oakley's 165, Mount Waverley were all out for 89. Skipper Craig Johnson, 3 for 7 off 5.4 overs, pretty handy.
Expensive.
And 2 wickets each to Finton Raystrick, Harry Cashman and Karuna Ratner. Well done to those guys, 2 wickets each, and a great win against the top side, as you just mentioned.
Yep. Moving on to round 11 versus Brighton in a one-day game. Unusually low-scoring game for Dendy Park games, which are normally very high-scoring games on a postage-stamped ground. Brighton batted first, were all out for 118. Welcome return to form from Jack Allen, 3 for 26 off his 7 overs, and 2 wickets apiece to Joel Ajani and Josh Gunawardner.
Josh again, well done. And so chasing 118, Oaks passed them 7 down. Lost early wickets in this one, but a steadying partnership at the end, and the old head Ryan Chappell ended with 29 not out to top score and just guide the Oaks over the line for their second win in 2 games.
Very good form this season, Chappie.
Yeah, he's hitting them really well and scoring quickly.
Yeah, just really holding the team together in that lower middle order position. Round 12, most recently on Saturday again too. So travelled out definitely the furthest road trip for the threes and fours this year out to Croydon at Fred Gill Oval.
And a two-day game.
Two-day game. So they're both Saturdays. On day one, bowled out Croydon for 122 with 2 wickets each to Josh Gunawardner again, Craig Johnson and Harry Di Rosario with his little offies that are very nice.
Well bowled to those three. So that was day one. Oakley didn't bat at all on day one, despite the fact that maybe they should have.
Only 65 overs on day one.
Should be a full day of 80, but doesn't matter. They batted on day two and did it really easily. So chasing 122, they ended 7 for 216. So they obviously kept batting once they passed them, which you can do in a two-day game. And really well done to Raf Parton, who scored 50. His first senior 50 for Oakley. So well done, Raf.
Absolutely. Some real improvement by Raf after, really putting in a lot of work over pre-season and being at every session. And it's great to see him getting some rewards post-Christmas now too.
Absolutely. And also young Archer Johnson scored 48 opening the batting.
Nice welcome return to form for him as well too. Arch also does all the right things and nice of him to anchor in innings there too. I think we were 1 or 2 down when we passed, 2 wickets down when we passed them. So really positive, and they were all young guys at the top of the order there too.
Fantastic.
And finished it off with a very nice 53-run unbroken partnership between our father and son, Ryan and Cam Chappell.
Yeah, I'm sure that would have been fun for both of them. Ryan Chappell ended 30 not out and Cam ended 28 not out. So they just finished off the day nicely together. Well done to those guys. And a third win in a row for the Force here, which actually puts them up to second on the ladder with 7 wins, 2 losses and 1 draw overall.
And playing Caulfield coming up, who are 4th on the ladder.
Yeah, so a couple of big games coming up for them. It's a top four final series in the threes and fours. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
With the two divisions that they've got going down there, we are in the top division in the thirds and the fours. Okay, let's move on to the thirds.
Third 11, round 10 versus Mount Waverley. One day game again. This game was played on a Sunday, as we mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Waverley were dismissed for 84 on the very well-used wicket there too, because they're playing Saturday, Sunday at Pinewood all season.
Every
week. With the main ground out of action. A very familiar name was the destroyer here with Aaron Lund.
A premiership teammate of both of ours.
Absolutely. Welcomed back to the club and a leading wicket taker in the second 11 competition a few years ago as well too. Took 4 for 13 off 6.4 overs.
Well done, Lundy.
Fateh Singh, opening the bowling again in a one-day game, took 3 for 16 off 5, which was, terrific. So,
beautiful work.
Yeah, really good result bowling them out for that score. And then in response...
Now, this was a day, this chase. Chasing 84, Oakley passed them 1 for 85, and Luke Rhodes made 75 not out.
Off 53 balls only.
53 balls. So I think it was, we lost an early wicket. Dimesh was sitting up the other end just blocking, not for many balls, but Luke Rhodes at the other end. His first game back for the season,
was?
I think this was. 75 not out off 53 balls. Easy game. Although he might not be thinking that after the last couple of weeks.
52 runs in boundaries. I'm sure he'll be looking to get back to that form very soon.
10 fours and 2 sixes. Well done, Rhodesy. So a nice easy win for the thirds in round 10. In round 11, they played Brighton in another one-day game.
We bowled first with Brighton all out for 80, which was a terrific result again. Ant Howes in his 250th senior game for the club.
Yeah, shout out Ant Howes, well done.
Which is an incredible effort. Only took me about 37 years to get 250 games, but Ant's done it in about 8. So,
amazing.
So well done. That's probably what happens when you play every day of the week for 5 years.
Play Saturday, play Sunday, play winter cricket.
Winter, summer, doesn't matter. He'll play it.
But yeah, fantastic. 250
5 for 21.
Games.
And in response, Oakley thought it might have been a nice walk in the park.
Yeah, but just chasing 80.
One and a half overs later, or two overs later, 4 for 6.
Yeah, in a little bit of trouble there. Luckily, they were only chasing 80, and it was Dimesh Patel and Pierce Kidson-Purry who batted together. Dimesh got 37, and Pierce, or KP as we call him, got 30 not out, and just steadied the ship and guided the Oaks home to pass them 5 down.
Yeah, both batters played with some really strong intent, which is probably not their main game as well too, so like to see more of that, boys, because you can be some real weapons in that grade if you bat like that.
And another win. So we move on to round 12 against Croydon. This was also a two-day game that just finished last weekend. We bowled first in this match as well in week one, bowling Croydon out for 104. 3 wickets to Ant Howes and Max Getley, 3 for 26 and 3 for 27 respectively, both bowling about 15 overs, so really getting the job done for the team. Then they did bat on day one here. They were about 1 for 50 overnight, or across the week, as you say, with Carter Bilbra was on 31 but was unavailable week two. Is that right?
Correct, yes. So he retired on that score.
He got the retirement. Like the fours earlier, they passed the score of 104 pretty quickly in the day but continued to bat. Ended up being all out for 204. And another shout out to Anthony Howes, doing it with both bat and ball, made 74 off 72.
From the chairman's perspective, probably a little bit of a disappointing result there, even though we got the 6 points. There was a real opportunity for the guys to get some serious batting in and make some runs in perfect conditions. It was 30 degrees, the wicket was flat, the outfield was fast, the opposition had already lost. There was a real chance for guys to dig in and fill their boots, as they like to say on shows like Triple M that we would never be on. but we'll come up with something a little bit more highbrow for next time.
Nevertheless, 100-run win there and third win in a row for the thirds as well. Overall, that puts them also in second place with 6 wins, 3 losses, and 3 draws. So well done to the thirds. Now, before we get to your top five segment, which is making a triumphant return, I just wanted to do a quick summary of the Craig Shield team, which we talked about with Jimmy Benn in our previous episode. Mm-hmm. So they had a tournament in the first couple of weeks of January. This is the under-15 representative competition amongst the sub-district clubs. Just wanted to shout them out. So despite the fact that it was the first 2 weeks of January, they had a lot of rain in those 2 weeks. So 3 of their games were draws from washouts. And the four full games they played, they won two and they lost two.
Even though it sounds maybe a little disappointing, particularly the games that didn't get finished, it was a really positive step up from the last few years. We won a couple of games and we were more than competitive in a number of other ones, so it was a really positive step. The fact that 9 of the 14 boys selected in the squad were Oakley juniors was also another real positive. A couple of the sort of... And I thank you to Greg Ajani for setting up the Frog Box each day too, so I was able to catch a little bit of this while I was at work. A couple of the standout performances for me were Killer Kilpatrick's 33 against Ormond, who are a traditionally very strong side.
Oysters
did a great job there, and was a solid contributor throughout the tournament, and in particular an unbroken 59 run stand, which got us the win against Port Melbourne, in a game that was very reminiscent of games that we would have lost in years gone by, but we won it 4 down. With a 60-run unbroken partnership between the skipper, Tom Corrie, and Ned Cannington.
And a shout-out to Tom Corrie, who ended up with the most runs for the Oaks, 133 runs at 37.6.
Top score of 45 and 33 not.
And most wickets to Matt Desposito? Maybe. took 5 wickets for the tournament, an average of 13.2.
Our own Sam Duckett and Maxie Turner took 4 each, who were just behind him as well, who bowled good spells as well.
Beautiful. So well done to Ryan Chappell, Jimmy Benn and Nick Thurgood, who helped out Chaps coaching that team. And well done to everyone in the team.
10 years, I think, Chaps has been doing it for, which is an incredible innings.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chaps. All right, Trent, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Trent's top 5, and then we'll take you through the second and first 11s. Here on the Mighty Oaks Podcast.
The Mighty Oaks Podcast is proudly presented by Ray White Oakley. Ray White is there to help with all your real estate needs, including buying, renting, or selling your home. Go and see Jonathan Eaves at Ray White Oakley and tell him the Mighty Oaks Podcast sent you.
Welcome back to the Mighty Oaks Podcast, part 2 of episode 5. My name is Miles. I'm here with Trent, and we're going to go straight into the famous segment returning, Trent's Top 5.
Might have made a slight error here too, Miles, with talking about food at dinner time.
Ooh.
So hopefully don't make all of our viewers and particularly our hosts too hungry.
So it's a food-related top 5.
It is a food-related top 5. So the Oakley Cricket Club is famous for a lot of things, but the Thursday night splatty meal deals are an institution of the club and have been for about 20 years now. Peter and Glenda Splatt, who are... intrinsically involved in the fabric of the club.
Legends of the club.
Both familial relatives of players in our first ever subbies team in 1949-50. And their children have been massive contributors of the club as well too. Every Thursday night, put on a meal for everyone, $10 a head, which is the best value in town. So In this room, without any further ado, number 5.
Okay.
Putting Eton Mall to shame, Glenda's marinated lamb souvlakis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good choice.
Very, very good stuff. From local butchers, Tasman Meats, and if you're listening, we might do a collaboration at some stage. Number 4, the business-themed MYOB burgers. Make your own burgers.
Right.
Often get a beef burger and a chicken burger.
Yeah, I was going to say,
well,
they also give us the option,
on a soft brioche bun with your choice of fillings. When Glenda's feeling particularly excited by a Thursday night, we might get egg and bacon as well too.
Ooh, yeah. That's
very,
always a good
very
night.
Good stuff. Number 3. Now, this might be a bit controversial, being lower than some people might think it would be.
Just before you go, yes. I have something in mind which I think will be your number 1.
Yes.
I haven't seen the list.
Okay.
Don't disappoint me.
We'll see how we go. Number 3, Piccolino's.
Oh, okay. 3.
Piccolino's. Nothing beats a couple of slices of margarita pizza from Piccolino's with their famous chicken and mushroom gnocchi.
Yeah, the gnocchi is good.
It's very good. It's creamy. Very good stuff. I don't know why people choose the penne over the gnocchi.
I always get a little bit of each, but I would choose the gnocchi.
With the same sauce? You're going the gnocchi, aren't you?
Yep.
Maybe we should push for a matriziano or something on the penne. Just something a little different. Just cut through.
But that, so I think if you asked around the club, Piccolino's would be in most people's one or two slot.
Agreed.
You've gone number three.
Agreed.
Okay.
This is Trent's top five.
This is Trent's top five.
I will not bow to public pressure. Number two.
Wow. Wow, this is what I thought you would have number one.
Mexican. And always for me, hard tacos.
Okay.
Just hard tacos. You can leave those soft tacos for other people.
Never soft.
No.
Always hard.
Not interested. The only time that I'll have a soft taco is if I'm wrapping a hard taco.
Just like that crunch.
Yes. It's good. It's good stuff.
So that's number two.
Number one.
You're famous for liking Mexican food.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes, absolutely. This is probably my favorite food of all time, though. And it's and we only get it on very special occasions. Roast pork.
Oh, roast pork.
Roast pork.
With gravy, I'm assuming.
How I like to have my roast pork served is a gravy soup with crackle croutons.
Yeah, okay. I know you love gravy.
Yeah, well, doctors do say that you should drink 8 glasses of gravy a day.
That's true. What doctors are you going to?
Anyway, that's the top five.
Roast pork. Yeah, we don't have that often.
Let us know what you think.
So I might have to send in a request. Trent is requesting roast pork. Peter, Glenda.
I hope they're watching.
There's another Trent's top five splatty meal deals. Thursday nights here at the club. Fantastic for everyone to gather after training, enjoy a meal together, and enjoy a delicious meal all of the time.
Very much part of the culture around the place. Everyone's welcome. $10, that's all you need.
Come on down. We also do selection, read out the teams for each week on a Thursday night, which is often your job being the chairman of selectors.
Far more stressful than it is eating the food.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks, Trent, for another great top five there. We'll move now into the second 11 wrap. And I might start this one with round 10, where we played Noble Park away. Noble Park, now this was the day where pretty much all afternoon it just lightly rained, which kind of caused a bit of havoc on the wickets, because after 2-3 hours of light rain, that's enough to make them pretty soft and slippery.
Mudamere Oval is known as one of the best grounds in the comp, and one of the best wickets.
Lovely ground.
A few of the photos that were passed on to me later that day certainly didn't represent that. They looked a bit more like, for some old footy fans, yeah, Moorabbin Oval in the 80s.
It did look like a centre square of a muddy centre square of a football field, didn't it? Anyway, so Noble Park batted first. They posted 8 for 146 off their 45 overs.
Pretty good recovery towards the end there too. I think they are some pretty lusty hitting in the middle to lower order.
Well done to Nick Thurgood and Manny Kingar, who took 2 wickets each. They were the highest wicket takers that day. And then the Oaks came to chase. So by the time they were chasing, and this referenced the photo that you just talked about, I might even put that in the YouTube video, fair bit of the wicket was mud, just about. It's got a little bit harder as the day went on because it stopped raining the second half of the day, but it was hard work. Nevertheless, Oakley started well with our two openers, Brambleby and Howes, both putting on, I think, about a 55-ish run partnership. Mm-hmm. Jordan top scored with 32, Jordan Brambleby. But once one wicket fell, a lot of them fell in a hurry, and I think we lost about 5 for 15.
We're in big strife and had chewed up a lot of the overs as well.
And then it was left to Nick Thurgood and Matt Stamps to forge a rearguard partnership and really counterattack. Nick Thurgood got 30 before he went out. And when he went out, we still need about 40 runs to win. And it was Matt Stamps and Ben Salmon who put on the partnership. Stampsy making 28 not out and Ben Salmon 11 not out, including hitting the winning boundary with 7 balls to go.
Three blokes who are probably better bats than their records have shown in recent times as well.
Yeah, so we ended up passing them 8 down in the second last over, and some jubilant scenes. You can also go on YouTube on the Frog Box and see Benny Salmon give it a couple of double fist pumps when he hit the winning runs, which was awesome.
Certainly did, the double cobra.
Moving on, round 11 versus Port Melbourne.
So Port Melbourne are actually going quite well this season in the twos. They've been pretty solid. They've got a pretty good game plan built around some spinners and some batters who make their runs for them. We bowled pretty well, but probably let them get 20 to 30 runs more than we probably should have based on that. They were all out for 120.
Mm.
Pick of the bowlers was Benny Salmon taking 3 for 21 off his 9 overs. At one point was on a hat trick after blowing up some stumps and then the front pad of the number 4 bat.
That's right. I was actually on commentary on the Frog Box at that point. So if you want to go back and watch me call the hat-trick ball.
Might see if we can get a cut of that or something in. Yeah, cool. Something you might have missed, though, up in the rooms at the time. His dad, Graham, actually commented unfavourably when the wicketkeeper came up to the stumps to Ben Salmon, claiming that it would never have happened in his day.
Oh.
So
I did miss that.
Just a little something for the Salmon family to discuss over Sunday night meal. I'm
glad I wasn't keeping that day.
Maybe a roast pork.
But yeah, anyway, so Port Melbourne all out for 120. Matty Tyson and Tom Eason also took 2 wickets each. And unfortunately, Oakley, we weren't able to chase it here at Warrawee. We were all out for 116, falling just 4 runs short. None of the batsmen really took their start on to get the win. Jordan Brownby 25, James Benn 23, and Sagar Serene was 21 not out, trying to win it at the very end, but just couldn't get those last couple of runs.
There was a run out, which was the last wicket, with Tom Eason desperately scrambling to get to the other end. That's just right. Missed out on an Oaks day. And that probably wasn't quite the strangest event of the day, though. With a few overs to go, a masked assailant entered the playing arena from over on the Drummond Street side, ran into the middle of the ground and stole the stumps.
One of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in a cricket field. A young guy in a balaclava running on, stealing the stumps, and then dropping the stumps and running away when everyone started shouting at him.
Yeah, I don't think they thought out the plan too much past the getting to the wicket and doing so. But yeah, look, unfortunately, he'll cop his $9,732.85 fine for
entering
the arena. So there's a GoFundMe page, I'm sure, for him that we won't link to.
Yeah, and if you're watching, never come here again. Moving on, round 12 against Donvale was a 2-day game, just finished this past weekend. Oakley again bowled first in this game in week one. Donvale all out for 174.
It was tough going, but we probably would have thought before the game, with us being second on the ladder and Donvale being on the bottom, that we probably would have preferred to keep them for a lower score than that, but credit to them for basically batting the day out. We welcomed back the big man after hasn't played since before Christmas with a broken thumb.
Friend of the podcast.
Suffered in the great win against Caulfield. He took 3 for 35 off 12 overs, so he's a terror at second 11 level, so fantastic to have him back.
Great to have him back.
Nick Thurgood and Tom Eason continued their good seasons with 2 wickets each. And then we had probably a bit of something that we might have thought was a difficult chase on day two.
174, that's nothing to sneeze at. A resounding dominant victory in the end, day two, Oakley passing them 1 down, 1 for 177 or 50 overs. All the credit goes to the openers, Jordan Brambleby, who got 56. Rob Howes, who ended 84 not out. Unfortunately, there was a century on offer for him had they been chasing a few more runs. And well done to James Francis, who partnered with Rob and got 23 not out as well. But just a fantastic, comfortable, dominant win.
Nice promotion up the order for Jimmy Francis as well too, so glad that he took the opportunity. So the twos go to second on the ladder with 8 wins and 3 losses and looking to find some really good form leading up to the last month of the season.
Mm, and a doubleheader coming up this weekend, 2 1-day games, the first and seconds, replaying I think that round seven game, which was meant to be against Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be happening this Sunday. But well done to the twos. All right. Moving on to the first 11.
All right, round 10, Noble Park playing them here. Noble Park are flying this season, second on the ladder, have a really formidable lineup. We felt good about it going into the game. Had 2 debutants, which is fantastic as well too.
Another 2.
Rahul Surendran, fun fact about him as well too, that we've covered out on our Thursday night Splatty Meal Deals. He is the first player in Oakley history to go 4th 11, 3rd 11, 2nd 11, 1st 11 in consecutive games.
It's pretty amazing that he was playing 4th 11 at the start of this year.
Yep.
took a 7-foot in the thirds when he played that game, and just has been pretty obvious at watching him bowl in the nets. He's a serious bowler.
Yep.
And just a young guy, just finished year 12. And yeah, well done to him, making his first 11 debut in this game.
Well done, Raza. And also James Francis, who came to us from, had played juniors at Oakley and then had a couple of years at Melbourne in the Premier system. And then he's been back with Oakley this season and doing a terrific job. So well done to those two young blokes. Unfortunately, Noble batted pretty well. That was again on that day that was a little bit wet during the day, yeah, and it probably just impacted us a little bit with our ability to sort of land the ball where we wanted to, hold on to it, and it was... Noble probably had the best of the conditions there.
Our entire bowling innings was raining.
They posted 9 for 200. Again, there was a bit of an interesting incident on the last ball.
Oh, yes.
With one ball to go, the number 11 batsman was timed out.
This was bizarre.
And then the umpires later decided to change it, so Noble finished on 44.5 overs, but only 9 down. So
they missed out on their last ball. It was crazy scenes. Because it was raining the entire innings, there was constantly the question of, is this rain too heavy? Are we going to come off?
Yep.
When they lost a wicket on the second last ball, and the number 11, who did take a fair while to come out, to be fair, was walking out to the wicket, and the umpires told everyone to get off. And watching on the sidelines, which I was, everyone assumed that finally the rain was too heavy. But even that was strange because there was only one ball left. So we thought, well, geez, surely you can play one more ball. You've been playing in it for an hour and a half. Then as they came off, we heard, no, it was timed out. And that was the case for about 20 minutes, and then they changed their mind.
We might check in with Johnny Doig or Benny Goodman about the rule around that one.
I actually think they went to the frog box and counted 3 minutes he had to get to the wicket, and then it was under 3 minutes, so they reversed their decision. But they still missed out on their last ball. It was pretty bizarre. Nevertheless,
yes. From a bowling perspective, the Oaks were best served by Gracie, who's having a terrific season again. Took 3 for 33, has a really strong command of the white ball.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Peake 2 for 47, and James Francis on debut, who bowled 9 overs and took 1 for 35.
Got his first 11 wicket, so well done, Jimmy Francis. In response to Noble Park's 200, Oakley were unfortunately all out for 83. Again, as you said, probably had the worst of the conditions, but all out 83 is probably not great. Top scorers were Will Taylor with 24 and Josh Peake hitting a few at the end for a 19 not out.
But yeah, probably just added a little bit of respectability to the score, but a disappointing loss, albeit against a very good side.
Yeah, they are second on the ladder, Noble Park. Let's go to round 11 now versus Port Melbourne.
Playing at the famous North Port Oval. Fantastic to have Port Melbourne back in sub-district cricket as well too. This was another game played on probably a substandard wicket as well too. Which the score would indicate as well too. Port were all out for 84. Ryan Pearson found some excellent form, taking 4 for 12 off 9, and the two opening bowlers, Josh Peake 2 for 12 off 7, ably assisted by Benny Fletcher as well too, who bowled a really good spell, kept them to a very low score. In response, the Oaks stuttered to getting that probably low total.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And lost 6 wickets on the way to getting there. Sammy Jones, 22 not out off over 50 balls, I think, in the end too. So it was certainly tough going. And James Ritchie, the wicketkeeper, 17 not out. Was nice to get a few runs there at the end. Also noteworthy for the... sadly, we farewelled Jimmy Pattinson, who played his last game for Oakley in that game. All the best, James. Made a real impact on the club. Unfortunately, work commitments just got too much to be able to also play cricket at the level that he wanted to play at.
Thanks, Paddo. And pretty handy return. I was looking at his season stats for the games he did play. Played very well. Moving on to round 12 against Donvale, a two-day game, finally. First 11 had another win. This was home here at Warrawee Park. Oakley bowled first on day one. Donvale posted 9 for 170. Ryan Pearson, in some very good form with the ball, was the pick of the bowlers with 3 for 33 off 19. And well done
Marathon
to Raza.
19 overs.
Yeah, 19 out of 80. Raza and Matty Grace also got 2 wickets each.
Yeah, it looked really good up at the top of the order there too. Raza with the first couple of wickets, both nicked off to the cordon.
Beautiful.
Remarkably similar to the second 11 game as well too, with Donvale batting first and posting a score about 170, which was probably unexpected at the time. On day two, again, a pretty tricky chase, 170, particularly with the way that we've been going. Started off really well. We put on a 49-run opening stand, which is the second best of the season. Half top scored with 42, and Pierso with 32. Both of them probably threw their wickets away, though. Which the good thing about that is, though, that they'll probably be hungry for runs this week, I hope, on the back of that. Sam Jones and Matt Grace made 39 and 27 respectively, and you could probably say they threw away their wickets at the end there as well too.
Yeah, and Jack Clark got 22 as well. So we had a lot of batsmen sort of get between 20 and 50. Luckily, it didn't cost us. We ended up passing them five down, 573. But definitely something to build on.
Absolutely.
For the batsmen to look on, push on and get some higher scores.
And that moves us on with that victory to five wins, five losses, a tie and ninth position on the ladder. Very important weekend doubleheader this weekend.
Yes.
Will probably determine whether our season comes to an end or whether it remains alive.
Absolutely. So sitting in ninth, needing to make the top six to make finals. Yeah, double game this weekend. That will be very important. Hopefully we can pick up two wins and push on for the last two games after that to make the finals. So to finish up the episode, we had a social function here last Saturday night, the iPod Shuffle night. It was something we've done a couple of times before, I believe. Premise of the night was if you wanted to come, you paid your entry fee and you got a song on the playlist, your choice of song. And then we shuffled all of the songs. We had 40 in the end. And then the last song played on the night was the grand prize winner of $300. Trent, we were both here. What song did you choose?
I had two songs.
That's right. Paid a little bit extra.
Yes. I had Cut Copy, Far Away, and The Chain, Fleetwood Mac.
Two good songs.
Just covering two different eras, and they actually played back-to-back in the top 10.
That's right. I do remember you dancing out on the steps, disappointedly.
Disappointedly.
But also
dancing.
Happily.
Yes.
Two Cut Copy songs in the 40 as well, which is probably not what I would have predicted, but very pleased with it.
Probably should have aimed three or four.
Yes, well, I chose I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, Arctic Monkeys, an absolute classic. That, I think, played maybe one before your two songs or one after.
It did.
About halfway through, so I didn't get lucky. But I did bring my partner down for the first time, her first time down at the cricket club, Matilda.
Bit of sweet experience.
Yeah, well, she had a song in. She chose Murder on the Dance Floor, topical song at the moment, and was very excited to hear it and became more and more nervous when her song didn't play. And we reached the top four, which we were told was the top three. But with four songs left, we paused, auctioned off a couple extra songs. Well done to Nick Thurgood, who purchased one of those. And was it Pearson, I think, purchased the other one?
Yes.
Ryan Pearson. So then there was the top six songs, which were reshuffled for the final. Now, we were told it was the top five. And Tilda's song came fifth. We thought it was the last song. We were celebrating. Tilda said to me, I'd already spent the $300 in my head. So she was very disappointed to realize there was actually top six songs and she came second. But anyway, well done to Jimmy Benn for organizing it, and we won't hold that against you, and hopefully she comes back to the club one day.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always fantastic to get some of the partners there as well too, and other guests of the club, which we had a few on the night. Yeah, really good opportunity to sort of let our hair down a little bit with that. Just quickly there too, do you have a nominee for Best Dressed? Because there was a little bit of a theme.
There was a costume theme off the top of my head. So Jeff Latham, the big man, scared me to death when he rolled in a moon boot. So I thought, we've had that many injuries this year. Oh no, we've had another one. I know second 11 captain Matt Stamps was about to punch him in the face, I think, because he thought he'd got injured climbing the stairs. But turns out his song was Broken Leg, and that was just his costume. So yes, that was not bad.
Very good. I've got a nomination for Ryan Chappell as well too, who had the Dead Kennedys song Holiday in Cambodia. He made his very own T-shirt as well too, which was which he does have a little bit of a tendency to do as well too.
Yeah,
having attended a few Star Wars matinee movies with him.
Oh yeah, made a few Star Wars shirts.
Has done in Arabesh as well.
Wow, and we should shout out Nick Turtle Thurgood, who ended up winning the night with one of the songs he bought back in on the auction. So probably a worthy winner for the club. Well done, Turtle.
We do have a bit of footage of the winning song there too as well.
Oh, we might try and put that in, actually.
Yeah, we can put that in there. It's not good.
It's not a good song either. No, it is a classic song. Taylor Swift love story. Whether we like it or not, we're all going to be hearing a lot about Taylor Swift over the next couple of weeks because she's coming to Melbourne.
And she's also competing in the Super Bowl on Monday, apparently.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Who does she play for again?
She plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, good luck to her. Anyway, it was a good night, iPod Shuffle night, so well done to all involved. Ben Salmon, Jimmy Benn were the main organisers, and another good function here at the club. Trent, before we wrap up, I just wanted to talk quickly about the Vets.
Absolutely. So they had their final game on Sunday, and because of the heat, very wisely, the game was called off.
Yeah, probably cool.
So they would have been playing out here at the home of cricket, the House of Pain. It absolutely would have been for the over 40-year-olds in close enough to 40-degree heat.
Yeah.
So they drew against Mount Waverley, and they lost against North Alphington Black in the game prior to that. So due to that draw, they finished third overall with 4 wins, 2 losses, and a draw, and have qualified for a knockout semi-final this Sunday against North Alphington Black.
Yeah, so that team that they played in the last game and lost to, chance for revenge this weekend.
Absolute chance for redemption. Really good luck to Phil and the boys. Thank you very much for all your efforts to Phil De Rosario. Putting the team together, fantastic to have some of those guys who have a strong association with Oakley playing in our colours.
Absolutely, and our first final of the season. So good luck to the Vets this weekend. All right, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thanks once again to Bray White, the official partner of the Mighty Oaks podcast. A reminder, if you're listening or watching on YouTube, to give us a like, give us a follow, subscribe to the Oakley Cricket Club YouTube channel, send us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram, OakleyCC. We'll be posting some more content as the season wraps up. We've got 4 games left before senior finals. All 4 teams looking like they're in with the shot still at this point, so that's awesome. Yeah, anything?
Just one last one too, Milo. We recently signed up to the CDS, which is the Container Deposit Scheme, which has finally made its way into Victoria.
Absolutely.
Which is where you can return cans and bottles to service centres and receive 10 cents back for each of those relevant cans. We've signed Oakley up as a donation centre, so we'll share the code that you can go and do it yourself, and that and all of those monies will come back to the Oakley Cricket Club. It's not only good for the good way to support the club, but especially good for the environment that keeps those products out of landfill.
Absolutely, and I can see we got 2 full containers over there ready to take down.
Ben Salmon estimated it's $100 worth. I'm guessing it's probably more like $30 worth, but absolutely all that money comes back to the club too, and yeah, very important that we do our part to look after planet Earth.
Beautiful. And we also may as well quickly plug the Toyota Good for Cricket raffle, which is still live.
It is till the 26th of February.
Fantastic.
Tickets are still available.
Do you know off the top of your head where we're ranking?
We're ranking 21st
nationally.
We've been a bit stagnant recently. We did get a little bit of a bump today after a few days of no sales. We're about 50% of our target too, so we've got a couple of weeks left. We'd really appreciate any support with that. 100% of the proceeds go back to the club, and you have an opportunity to win some great prizes. Furthermore to that, for the players, if you have bought 10 or more tickets, you will be receiving an extra special surprise at the Splatty Meal Deal this week.
Ooh, I qualify for that.
You do.
Fantastic. So you can log on to the Toyota Good for Cricket raffle website. They're $5 each, the tickets. Search Oakley Cricket Club before you purchase. It's pretty easy to do, but jump on and buy your tickets. And that'll do it for us here at the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Good luck to the teams this weekend. We got a double header in the ones and twos. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the podcast. Jeff Latham will be on with me, as well as Matt Girolami. Thanks very much. See you, Trent.
Cheers, Miles. Thank you.